welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lowry. It's almost burning with white sage fire in here. Maybe burning down the studio, but I want to not do a long intro and be long-winded like I typically am. This is Jack the Bears. I'm just going to reference him from now on. He's a regular cast member on the show. He's my friend, somebody that I call my friend and mean it, and mean that in all of its sense of the word. My description's there. Really, if you want to know how I feel about him, read that description. But we've been lining this one up. We've done some random ones, but this one, like I said, he's been ready for, and we have put off some random conversations we typically have until this day. Time has consumed us and cut us short a little bit, but I don't know. I think things happen for a reason. And brother, welcome to the show, man. Welcome back. I love you. It's good to see you, man.
Love you too, brother. Love you more. Thanks for having me back. I know I'm just taking a piss here, Adam, but I know this is the fourth time I've been on your podcast, 72 Deep. So you're running out of talent. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I feel like I need to do a little bit of, we are not worthy. But all shit aside, thank you. Great to be here. Adam Lowry, I just want to share a few things with you, if I may.
Yeah, baby.
Yesterday, April Fool's Day here, we're a little bit ahead of you guys on the time scale, about 14 or so. Anyway, I put up, I thought it would be a good little joke to say I'm getting out of the mastering business and focusing on the inspirational speaking business. Now, a lot of people know that lately I've been putting out a lot of little videos. I've been very grateful that, people have been resonating with them, and I've been getting some beautiful feedback on them. But it seemed like a very plausible thing. Anyway, I thought it would be a good laugh. But you know what I got out of it yesterday, Adam Lowry? Let me tell you. The love that I got back from people was fucking overwhelming. The phone calls, emails, text messages, people saying, what the fuck? What do you mean you're selling up? You're getting out of here. But interestingly, what people were saying was, yeah, but I can see why you do that, because you're really fucking good at this, and we can see you doing this, and this is – and how wonderful, man, that that people, for one, just to get all that love from people, man, but people are I don't want to use the term buying into it, but they're seeing me in that light, you know, the way I identify now. I'm a master engineer, but I'm identifying more as a inspirational speaker and a mentor, man. It's finally at 52 years of age to find that gift that I have and that I can share with the world, and my life experience. And that's all it is at the end of the day. You know, it's not all these videos I put out, any blogs I write out, they're not there to impose a philosophy it's just sharing my experience and things that have been working in my life. And the one thing I'm realizing more and more is that I think the world that are looking for answers, man, and people in my community, which is the artistic and creative community, a lot of people are just looking for shit. And no one's out there talking about stuff like self-love and self-esteem and the things that really matter in life and what's happiness and understanding that happiness comes from within yourself, and that it is a choice, and that there's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect. You were born right. Everyone's got a gift. But most people just won't, they refuse to accept it because of their conditioning of going from being unconditionally loved as children to conditional love, which is a program. And they have all these layers upon layers that every time things start to slowly unpeel and it gets closer and closer to that primary core fear that you are not enough, that you're not worthy, you're not, you don't deserve whatever. And people just shut the fuck down again, you know? So anyway, man, it was beautiful to get all the love. It's great, just that positive confirmation from the universe that this thing that I've embarked on is, in fact, the right thing to do. And it's a calling, man. It's a passion. It's something that I'm so into. And it's beautiful to see that people are responding very positively, and there obviously is a void there for someone to just tell people how it is, or at least my perception of how it is. And just again, the message is there's nothing wrong with you. You're fucking perfect the way you are, bitches. Find the gift that's inside you. Go out there, do your thing. Just find your own greatness, be great. And it's there. It's just fucking there. So long as you are prepared to accept it, but you first have to accept you for who you are and love you and just know you're fucking perfect. I know I keep coming back to it, but you are fucking motherfucking perfect. All of you. There's nothing wrong with you. So just in the same way that you've been programmed, unprogram yourself, but, you know, you've got to consciously wake the fuck up to this point. You know, love yourselves. You know, love each other, but love yourselves. And you'll see how the world shifts around you. It's beautiful, Adam Larry. I'm in such a beautiful place right now. I'm just so enjoying this journey. And, you know, and while some people have said, you know, you should be doing this and writing a book, I'm in no fucking hurry, man. Because I'll tell you how I'm living it right now. And this is how I would invite people perhaps look at this kind of model. You can trust that everything's going to work out. Don't worry about the how or the fucking why. Just trust in something bigger than you. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. It doesn't fucking matter. But if you can live and let go, just let go of stuff and understand that everything's going to work out because it always fucking does because we are all here for a reason. Everyone's here for a different fucking reason, Adam. So when you know that and you accept that, and if you could imagine your life's journey from up above as a river that has twists and turns, but it's going to end up at a certain spot. And that spot is the inevitability. That's where you are going towards. And there's nothing that's going to change that. Despite the fact that sometimes you feel that you're heading away from it, don't panic. Don't get scared. Don't get off the boat. Don't give up. Just stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. Peter Sage, right, my fucking mentor, gave this beautiful analogy with respect to this, Adam. And he said this. He said, imagine that if I gave you a check for $10 million. This is a check that has been cashed out of his account into your account, but the condition is that you do not have access to it for 6 months. But the money's there. The money's there, and you are going to be up to your neck in coke and hookers the rest of your fucking life. How would you live your life? How would you live your life in the knowing that it is there? It's going to be there in 6 months, but you've got to do your 6 months time. How would you live your life if you fucking knew it, that was the case? It creates a very different shift in thinking. And this is not a fake it till you make it type thing because faking it till you make it is just head stuff. That's the stuff that's in your head, man, and all of us are in our head way too much. We need to be more in our heart. So, again, knowing is coming from your soul, man, knowing that that is truth, that is it. And by living your life that way, things start to shift and the future comes forward, if you will. So I think for me that understanding that and really getting that has created a real shift in my life. And so all I'm really wanting to do now, man, is share the wisdom with people because if shit's working for me, stands reason it should work for them. On the proviso, they're ready to get down and dirty and do the work because some of us have to go through some deep and dark shit. We have to face demons, but all of it's really worth it. And once you let go, Adam, you know, letting go, there's a paradox in letting go because letting go, it's simple, letting go. Letting go is so hard for so many people. I spent a half a century trying to let go, and if I finally let go now, and I'm continuing to let go. And it's a beautiful place to be, my friend.
Do you think we ever arrive to that place?
That's a good question. Do we ever arrive? I don't think there's ever a point of arrival, man. I think it's just an ongoing thing, but I think that's the beauty of it because so let's say you arrive, for argument's sake, whatever arrive means, then what? What happens then? Is that the end of it? If the nature of the universe is ever expanding and eternal, then we are eternal and we are ever expanding and we will keep, moving and shifting and evolving and changing and whatever. So I don't think there ever is arrival. I don't think we should think about any kind of arrival. And I think this is why, as I'm learning, it's more and more important to be able to engage more in the present, to enjoy what you're doing and just kind of relax with it and just know everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to work out. And for many people, that's hard because we're conditioned for wanting certainty. We're conditioned for wanting to know. It's like again, I'm sorry I'm using a lot of these Peter Sage examples because his are so fucking good, and I'm expecting a letter from his attorneys one day expecting to sue me for compensation for blatantly ripping off his intellectual property and perhaps some punitive damages. But nonetheless, you know, he does break it down so well. It's hard not to be able to use his examples, but you know, I don't think there's ever an end point, man. I think we just we just keep going, we keep rolling, we keep doing our thing, you know. But imagine if you watch a movie, yeah, and if someone gave you a spoiler, especially when the movie's getting interesting, or you try, you know, it may be a suspenseful moment, it may be, you know, a difficult thing to watch, whatever. But if someone kept spoiling it for you, it would make, you know, or it's like watching a rerun or something. It gets boring. I think the more comfortable we can become in living within the question and being happy with that and just kind of rolling through that and just accepting that as, you know what, that's life. And there's no straight lines in life. We've talked about this before. You know, the life, the universe is not a linear thing. We've been trained to believe that, you know, everything's a straight line. We go from school, we go to college, we get a wife, we get a white picket fence, we get the children, 2.5 children, you know, the dog, the career, the gold watch, and then they put you in a hole in the ground and it's done. And I don't want to live my life that way. I don't think many people do, but we've been conditioned that way. And the more comfortable we can get with adapting with uncertainty and embracing it, in fact, I think we are going to be better off. Now, I'm not going to suggest to you now that I'm fucking the great ninja warrior Musashi in this. I'm learning this as I'm going along. And one of the great things about doing this speaking and putting out these videos, Adam, is that, you know, people need, I hope people understand that what I'm putting out is not coming from some place of authority or that I've got it all completely worked out. Far from it. I'm sharing my journey. I'm sharing my experience. And in the hope that when people listen to what I have to say, they can relate and that they can feel that it's coming from a place of authenticity. And that I'm happy to say, you know what, I'm just as fucked up and flawed as everyone else. And I have my moments too. I did a video about being a victim and victim mindset. And, you know, and again, with all these things I've been learning and applying and seeing benefit from, I still have my days, man. I have my days where something will present itself and, you know, go, oh, fuck, oh, shit, you know, this is fucked up. But these days, I'm more aware at being able to identify that and just realize, okay, that's just the way it is. Don't fight reality. It's a motherfucker. It'll beat you every fucking time. So let's just play with a bitch, you know, and go more in flow with her and just understand that this is just something we have to go through. It may not present itself why for now, but maybe later on, you know, we'll be able to, with the benefit of hindsight, go, oh, okay, that's why that had to happen. You know, and then it all makes sense. So the better we can become at seeing those situations and just understanding that, okay, again, it comes down to trusting in something and just going, okay, this is not what I expected to be. This is not part of the way I scripted it out. But okay, that's cool. It's not good. I acknowledge it. I see it for what it is. But I'll just play along because I know and I trust that beyond this, it's going to be fucking all right again. So. Again, that $10 million is in the fucking bank ready for me to spend. I'm just going to have to go through that 6 months of whatever it is I need to go through. But it's cool, man, because it's going to be a fucking party at the end of that 6 months. And you're invited. And so are you motherfuckers. So that's where I'm at right now, mate. And well, you know what?
24 months. Let me feed the pot to you a little bit, man, because, you know, we typically share our conversations when we have them randomly. We go live on a podcast, but we also have them more frequently. And so, you know, what I'm trying to ponder, you know, or put out there, I like to hear what you ponder too, you know, what you think, and we meet later about it, sort of. But we all kind of do it indirectly. But, you know, since you were talking about happiness and peace, et cetera, I would ask you, do you see a difference between peace and happiness? And are we just really chasing peace and calling it happiness. And maybe we miss it because happiness seems to come with things or acquisition or accomplishment, when the peace really is about none of that. The peace is more about within. So could we be sabotaging ourselves by using a word like happiness or the pursuit of happiness per se? And are we chasing peace? What do you see the difference there? Or if any, what that's just where I'm pondering.
Okay. Well, what's happiness? Happiness is an emotion. You can't acquire
it, right?
You can't a state of mind. You can't acquire an emotion. And where do emotions come from? They come from within ourselves. So we need to access from the within rather than look at the external world and look for the happiness there. And again, it comes down to this point that I mentioned in my last video, where the more we can live our lives by effect and by the cause rather, and not the effect, that's the problem. The outer world is a reflection of our inner world. So whatever it is that we're feeling, and that's all our own choice and our responsibility, man. You know, no one puts the shit into your head. You create your own story. We're all living our story, our narrative. Everyone's living their story. So the minute you start changing your story from I'm a loser, I'm not worthy, and, you know, because your father or your mother or your friends or society or the billboard or the TV commercial tells you that, and you switch off from all that and realize there's nothing wrong with me, I'm fucking perfect, and you start switching to a more positive mindset, then you'll find that the external world is going to present differently. It's not immediate. It's like, again, and I'm sorry again, and I'm Peter, if you are listening, I'm sorry for coming back with one of your examples, but it's so fucking perfect. It's like if you're running an oil tanker, you're the captain and you want to go to the starboard side, right, you spin the wheel. An oil tanker will not respond as immediately as, say, a car or a motorcycle, right? So people have this intention, I want to go right. You set the wheel in motion. Now, because in the case of an oil tanker, it's not immediate, people go, fucking thing doesn't work. And so they set the wheel back to the original course. And they go, oh, this shit doesn't work. This positive thinking shit doesn't work. You know, scientists talk about this thing called, what we understand in the metaphysical world, everything exists as a wave, all possibilities. And our thoughts will then collapse that wave into a particle, right? That brings us into the Newtonian world. Now, scientists say that event is what they call the idea of a thought to the moment it manifests is called the metaphysical to Newtonian transition point. Right? Now, this probably takes anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks. So what I'm suggesting is this, and this is not airy-fairy, amby-pamby, esoteric bullshit that I found on kumbaya.com, right? This is science, bitches, okay? So what I'm suggesting is this. Start hanging around decent people, decent people as in more positive people, people that will be more supportive of you, of what you're about, that you can also support in turn. Nourish your body, nourish your mind, start thinking better thoughts, start journaling, start meditating on these things. If you do that for about 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to start finding shifts in your world. And that's been my experience, Adam, and that's what I've been thinking. The people that have been coming into my life, the opportunities that are starting to open up. Dude, I just got a fucking an invitation to speak in New Zealand in August. It's all the final details have been locked down. Where fucking Wim motherfucking Hof will be there. I'll be sharing a stage with Wim. Maybe not standing right fucking next to him, but I've been invited to speak at this event, man. It's like, holy fuck, where'd that come from? It's crazy.
Oh man. Great
dude, you know, I love it. I get to hang out with dudes like you. We call each other out on our bullshit, and that's a beautiful thing about good friends, man. You know, good friends will always say the good things behind your back and the shit stuff to your grill, right? I honestly believe that to be true. I got another friend here called Danny Benici. If you want to talk about a guy that is a fucking black belt at calling you out, well, Danny's the man.
Shout out to Danny. He got a quote on the picture there for the post. So shout out to
Danny. Danny's awesome, man. Danny's one of my favorite people in the world. You want to talk about a guy that fucking calls you out. Fucking if you want to get called out, fucking dial a Dan. He's the man. But,
that's funny, but you man. Know what, man? That's, but you know, that's my man, Danny, too. Danny.
He's your man.
Yeah. Right, same side, man. And we've flown on the same wavelength, bro.
You know, but here we go. But here's the thing. If we allow ourselves the time and to be patient, and like the oil tanker, man, you spin the wheel, you allow the time for this tanker to slow down so that it can actually make the turn and you accomplish what you want. You know, so, you know, we put something out in the world, our intention, our thought, our feeling, our desire, and then we allow nature, life, the universe, call it what you want, to do its thing. And this is, and because we are living now in this world of instant gratification, we have access to so many things, but with a click of a mouse now, Adam Lowry. And so people think that life works that way, and it doesn't quite work that way. So once you accept that and you just relax, trust, have that knowing, you know, I think that's a big thing, man, just to be able to let go and have a trust and a knowing that everything's going to work out, not worrying about how things are going to happen. You know, the how will present itself when you are in alignment, when your heart and mind are connected, man. You know, too many of us are in our heads. We think too much. And there's nothing wrong with thinking. It's important to think. It's important to think critically. It's important to be able to go through that processing. But people are leading with their heads and their hearts follow, rather than following with their heart and then letting their head follow. You know,
How do you separate or keep separated those thoughts and heart yourself that you're talking about?
Okay. Well, what I've been doing and have been doing of late, and I suggest people get onto this, because when your heart and mind connect, it's when you're in a state of coherence. And I found that heart math was something that's helped me immensely. I use an app called Inner Balance. That's for the iPhone. There are Android apps as well for people, and essentially what it is, and you got video recording too now,
we're live right now and it's all recorded.
All right, well, let me just show you something. Just bear with me 2 seconds.
Wait, does it have trademark infringement, man?
No. Look, I'm just gonna show you. Okay, basically you got your phone, and you see this, so this plugs into your phone, and you can see that is a little bio little biofeedback sensory device that clips on your ear, and it picks up the pulse in your ear. And what this does is that it measures your heart rate variance. So this is the kind of shit that they teach SWAT teams, snipers, you know, people that have to go into very volatile situations but require to be calm to be able to make good decisions in a split second. So this thing just trains you so that you can be more coherent or in a higher state of coherence. And that's when the heart and mind are in sync, yeah? And so it becomes more, you know, this is training yourself so that it becomes more and more your natural state. And when you're in a high state of coherence, you're going to make better decisions, you're going to be more relaxed, you're going to be more in sync, you know? And when you're in that state, you know, as you put out that energy, man, that's going to reflect back to you. That's when you see more doors open, more of your teachers that will appear, more of the right people that will be supportive of what you do, and getting that, again, positive reinforcement of all these things. You know, in the same way that if you're negative, you're going to get more, you know, I know it sounds like it's ironic that you get negative feedback positive reinforcement of negative things. I know that sounds a bit weird. But again, depending on what's coming from within yourself, man, that's what's going to come back. So this is what I've been learning. This is what I've been finding to be my reality, my friend. And the more and more I venture down that rabbit hole, the more and more happiness I have access to within myself. And as a result, that creates this feedback. You know, I can just keep putting it out there. But, mate, that feedback from people yesterday just blew my fucking mind. You know, I knew I was a well-liked person, but I didn't realize there was that much love out there for me. And it was very humbling. It was very beautiful. I'm a very, very blessed motherfucker, dude. I really am.
Yeah, I was reading the story. We got a little delay, so give us a couple seconds between chatting. But, yeah, my friend Mike Rummel got me today, man. He posted that he was moving to Pennsylvania and took a different job, and he was out of here. Well, he may be doing some work with me on the new ESPN show, and he's a good friend, and we just reconnected, right? And so I went on his comment, and everyone said congratulations. And I'm like, no, listen here. And I gave this long rant about why he shouldn't move. And then he texts me, gotcha. And I'm like, man, I didn't even wake up and realize what day it was. And I've read a lot of things. And then I saw yours recently with the response form, man, that, you know, you were leaving the business and people responded as if you were leaving the country, really. And it was, I know it's an, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's amazing. It's weird how, you know, we just do something that's a social construct and it then reveals back to us something we may not have seen and, or really even expected.
Yeah, man. I didn't expect that. To me, this was just for a few giggles and I didn't expect that kind of response. And even up until this morning, like 24 hours beyond the posting, and there were people that called it out and picked it, you know, and despite that, I had two people ring in tears, man. I had someone said, he said, you fucking prick, I was about to write this thing for you. And it was like, it read like a eulogy. It was just crazy.
It's kind of funny though, man. I mean, Mike's was funny. It had me, man. Cause after I posted, I was like, I mean, I dove into it. Like, no, this motherfucker's not leaving. I'm prepared. And then, man, he got me, dude. And you know what? It's the funny thing. So you know what? If the people got mad, whatever, man, it's all out of love too. Cause, that's just, they were probably hurt the most because really anger is just hurt and fear. And so if somebody's really mad at you, they're probably really, really hurt by it. So at the most part, they probably are just afraid, man. And shit, I would be too, man. If you were down the street from me and we were working, you know, I'm going to go back and dive back in, bro. We got sidetracked. But we were talking about peace and happiness and that. Are we chasing the same thing? Are we really chasing peace and calling it happiness? And I would ask you, you know, you talk about the happiness being something you can't grab. I love a lot. Everything you just said, I'm pretty much right about and agree with. To you, then, I'll ask you, what is peace to you? And is peace after happiness? Is peace arrived? Is this another emotional state? How do you see that playing in?
I think I understand. Look, to me, whether it's peace or happiness, ecstasy, these, again, feelings and emotions that are all to be accessed from within yourself and are not dependent on the outside world. And when you start to realize that and you can access that more and more within yourself, again, like I said, the outer world will reflect your inner world. So, you know, rather than think that you are going to rearrange things that have already been done and past tense, so to speak, isn't going to work. And this is where people are living their lives more by the effect of what's gone on rather than look at the circumstances that created it in the first place. And then understanding that, okay, that's done. Let's now start anew. Let's start afresh with a fresh page. Forget about what's done. Yesterday's history and tomorrow is a mystery. So now let's just go into understanding that the happiness is from within. It is a choice that we make. And a great way to get into that is to feel gratitude for everything you have, even if it's for the bare essentials of life. You know, they say that wealth is the perception of abundance triggered by gratitude. You know, you don't get money in the bank when you become wealthy. You become wealthy, you know, you don't become wealthy by putting money in the bank. You get money in the bank when you become wealthy.
You're talking okay. about starting it from the inside. I mean, you're
Exactly. So, you know, whether it's peace, whether it's happiness, whether it's all these things, man, they're all pretty much part and parcel of the same thing, and there's varying degrees of intensity, but they're all beautiful feelings, and they're all accessible within yourself. And sometimes people are afraid to access that. You know, sometimes people – I really believe that there are people that – don't go for things, not because they fear the failure as much as they also can fear the success. What, you know, they probably fear how great they actually fucking are. Yeah. So anyway, what do I know, mate? I'm just fucking waxing lyrical and sprouting bullshit here. You know,
no, that's not bullshit. No,
okay. I'm being a little facetious here, but, and slightly jocular. But ultimately, man, this is just my experience, Adam. I'm just sharing my story, and everyone's a storyteller, right? So I'm just sharing that, and this is what's working for me. I just invite people, try it, test it for yourself, right? Because if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. And yet there are a lot of people who want to find happiness, to find peace, to find contentment, to find all these things, but they're looking at it from the wrong, using the wrong method, which is, you know, looking for the outside validation, you know, rather than going into themselves. And this is spoken about in ancient traditions, and the Buddhists talk about this, and the Taoists talk about this. And, you know, there's nothing new. There's nothing new in this. But what's interesting is that science, and in particular, you know, quantum physics, is now proving this scientifically, that this whole idea that your thoughts become reality, become, you know, manifest themselves, you know, through this process. But again, it requires some patience, man. It requires you to and to take some personal responsibility and to trust, just trust in something, whatever that is, that it's going to work out, and not get too concerned about the minutiae behind the why and the how and having an understanding. Just kind of just stay the course, know it's going to be fine, and it will be fine.
Yeah, when you talked about fear and the success too, I think that also can be interpreted as, you know, people don't feel deserving of the success, right? Like you said, that's why I love how you connect everything to the self-esteem, because it gets talked about a lot, but not too in depth to really that description of it. You know what I mean? So, you know,
Adam, it doesn't have to be in depth. It's really quite simple. I mean, one of the reasons why I like to make my blogs and my videos fairly short is that, you know, people don't have the time. It's like Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty saying, don't fucking bore us, get to the chorus. Yeah. So let's get straight down the ticks and tacks and just, you know, give people the meat. Now, for those who want to explore it further, you know what, there's plenty of books and videos and blogs and shit that they can explore and they can get right into. And that's what they want to do. But I think for most people, and if I'm not like most people, I have a short attention span. So I don't, you know, I don't feel I need to write 3 volumes of a book. I don't feel like I need to read 20 million fucking word blogs and watch a 4.5-hour fucking podcast. It's like, man, just fucking give it to me straight. Here it is. Boom, 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 fucking boom. And you're done.
Yeah. You could seriously run a 4-hour podcast, Jack.
Yeah, but why? But what? But why? What would be the point of it? Why do you want? Hang on.
4 hours of Jack, bro.
No. Listen, mate. No one wants 4 hours of Jack. Why would you? Hang on. Why would I want to do my fucking load in 1 4-hour episode when I can spread 4 hours over fucking a year?
I'm with you.
Right?
Yeah, I talk about that when people talk to me about, you know, ideas. I tell them, look, this is what Jack said. And it told me about, look, you could write a book that has, you know, like I did with 200 pages or so. It's in, you know, it's intricate. Or, you know, I could break that up into 3 times, you know. But for me, I had to get it all out there. But I'm with you because the way you move is so authentic. You move in the here and now. And so for you to author a book of a long term would be difficult, of constantly evolving and learning, that you would have to write short books, bro, because by the time you finish your long one, the person at the end of that would be like so much, you know what I mean? It would be so evolved that I think it's better that you would write the short one. But it's always a positive gear, but you switch it as fast as chameleons change colors, man, and always keep the same authenticity about what you do. That's what I love about you, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. I think, and people know, man, you know what? Authenticity, your heart is a binary thing. It's either on or it's fucking off. Your head can sit between nades and, you know, it's, you know, your ego, you know, it's a very sly motherfucker, man. And sometimes people think that, you know, their head is convincing them of that they're being a certain person a certain way. But when your heart is engaged, man, people feel that shit, man. They just fucking know. There's no, oh, he's 95% authentic. You're fucking authentic or you're not. You know, if people just pick up a slight fucking thing in there, man, you lost them. It's gone. They've flown the coop, man. You know? So I think authenticity is very important, man. And I think I don't know if it's something that you learn. I just think it's something that you are. You just are authentic. You know, maybe people can have a journey towards becoming that way, but I don't know. My view is it's binary. You can't be mostly authentic. You just are, period.
Yeah, I think what ends up covering, you know, that up for a lot of people are those enforced of social constructs, those that begin to get buried on top of that authentic self are these, well, what I call them, supposed to's, or those things that these social constructs shape us into, like walking away from dreams or directions dramatically based on certain respect. You know, so for me, it's the layers that cover up that authentic self that, like you said, put on ourselves a lot of time, most of the time, really, that we control. And it's getting through those layers again. You know, like you said, environmental social constructs are what we think inside, you know, ourself. And what I love about your message, man, is the purity and the on targetness of it. It's like an arrow instead of a shotgun. Is, you know, it does. It starts with that self. It sounds bad saying self love, but the truth is it does. It sets there. And so I know you got to run soon, so I'm gonna end you with this question: self love. Where would, you know, your master and Jack, the self love, self esteem master? I would tell you that I'd ask you, what would you tell someone out there is sort of that first step to finding that self love?
Okay, well. You know, as I said before, it's understand that, you know, you were born perfect and that there is nothing wrong with you. Now, for a lot of people, just to say that, for people that would receive that and go, yeah, I know. But it requires more than intellectual understanding, because I think a lot of us know things on that intellectual level, whether it is what to do to lose weight or to be more effective, you know, or to be more productive or what have you. But I've shared this exercise with you once before and I'll share it here again, because this was very profound for me, Adam Lowry, where I was, Peter asked me, invited me to do an exercise called the pedestal exercise, because we have a tendency in this culture where we need to put people up on a pedestal, where we need to worship people. Because and that automatically puts you down, man. That says there is a divide, and these people are there. They belong there. I don't belong there because I don't have this. And I don't have that. And I don't fit in with that thing. But when you, if you took a list of 10 people or characters, whether they're alive or dead or fictional, and you have a look at and you write down 5 of the qualities of each of those people that you look up to and you admire and you respect, and then you take each of those qualities and then look at a time in your life where you actually demonstrated that particular trait, you'll find that as you go down the list, as my experience was, there were all these words that kept coming up. Now, for me, they were loving, respected, admired, influential, so compassionate. And I'm thinking, fuck, I've got to find some different words here, because Peter's going to think I'm being a lazy cunt, and, you know, and I need to be creative. But
well, as soon as you allowed the outside pressure in from outside judgment, just like you said, is when you got squirrely. That's clinical.
And then you see all these traits, and the penny drops when you go, fuck, that's me. That's fucking me. Wow. You know, why do I like you, Adam? Because you're like me. It's as simple as that. You know, we like people because we see ourselves in them, or we see attributes they have that we would like to have. Yeah? But it's already there. You are what you already seek. It's simple. And once you get away from understanding that purely intellectually, and again, it comes to the heart, man. The heart. What's in your heart? What's in your soul? What do you know? What do you know to be true to you? When you accept that, when you click into that space, man, that's when the magic happens. That's when, okay, we're here to play. We're here to have fun, motherfucker. Life is serving us. Yeah? So anyway, that's all I got for you, man. I'm really sorry. I gotta get out of here. I got a 9.5-year-old. I got a 9.5-year-old who's waiting to go see Batman versus Superman, so that's gonna be fun as fuck.
All right. Well, enjoy it up, man. And thanks for giving and feeding the motivation, man. I love it, man. It feeds me every time, man.
Thanks, buddy. It's not, you know what? I'll tell you why I prefer inspiration. Motivation's good because it gets you up to a certain point. But inspiration is when people take something away. When I get inspired, it's beyond that moment of that lift. I take it with me, you know, and I can refer back to it. I can remember something. It's something that becomes more integrated. You with me? So motivation, they're all positive things. Don't get me wrong. But there's a reason why I particularly chose to use the word inspirational in terms of what I do in terms of speaking, because a lot of people can get you motivated, man, in different ways. But motivation, it's a bit like willpower. It's short term. Whereas someone who's inspired will go the course a lot longer. It has a greater benefit, I believe. So
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, man.
You know, call it semantics, but I think there is an important distinction there.
100%, man. I agree with it. I couldn't have said it better myself, man. It's like you've read a copy already or something.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, love you lots. Thank you so much for it. And listen, we're definitely going to be hanging. I can't wait. We're going to hang out in LA this year, man. We're actually going to fucking meet up face to face and go around the hills. We're going to fuck about. It's going to be so much fun, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, a lot of people to see out there, man. It'll be good. We're pulling out to on April 18th. We're pulling out for the book tour, the last of the filming for the movie, and we're driving from here to New York, and we're hitting about 20 universities along the way.
Beautiful. Well, I'll be thinking of you, man. No doubt we'll stay in touch. I really have to go. Listen, I love you. To all your listeners, love you guys. Please remember, be nice to each other, but more importantly, please be nice to yourselves, okay? I love you, fuckers. Talk to you soon, man.
Love you too, bro. Later.
Later, dog. Bye.
Later. Oh, man, I always love talking to the bear. It's motivational. It's hard to sit here and listen to you. It's inspirational because it lasts with you. It stays with you. And I'm glad you're a part of my life and a cast member. I love having you on so much, man. I know everybody may, I don't know, say I have the same guest on or whatever, but I have the people on that influence my life, that are in my life, that are my friends, people I like to share, people that like to share, people that like to help, people that live in their cognitive rampage, you know. I don't hoard my friends and mentors, especially those that are inspirational, that move me each time I talk to them. Jack's one of those guys, and it's funny. He typically calls always at that time. You know, maybe late night when I'm working too long, and he happens to be up in Australia, and he hits me up and says, hey, man, you want to chat? And we do that. We do that probably once a week. So, I don't know. I love having that guy on, even if it's short time or a long time. But I hope you liked the last podcast. I know you did, because, again, Big Mike, the Messenger, is the most downloaded podcast in one day. This guy didn't have a website, you know. When I talk to him, he tells me, you know, Adam, I'm not surprised, and not some arrogant way either. He says, you know, God moves like that. Doesn't surprise me. That's what he told me. And not an arrogant kind of weird way either. I don't know. I'm just saying, you guys love him a lot, but he comes on, no book out, no famous song, no YouTube video with a million hits, just a friend. And Tony's that too. I love those guys, man. That's why I have them on. So I hope you're taking care of you. Limited edition book is almost done. So it probably will last another 4 days, tops, at this rate. And the white book will be gone forever. There will be no more white limited edition. There's some changes, a lot of them. There's actually even a few different things about the new book that will be out. The regular book, if you will, the black book is what I like to call it. Because we all have our little black book from somewhere. So that's why that one's black. But anyway, the limited edition has a $250 thank you from me, a chance to be on the podcast as well, a personal note, signature, some other things too. But it is limited and almost out. So for everyone that has purchased the limited edition copy, thank you. I love you much. It meant a lot. And for those of you that picked up on the secrets of some of the numbering and the pricing and things in the limited edition, you can hunt for them. So if you listen to the podcast and you've been following the podcast, in the limited edition book as well are small little anecdote things that will follow through certain episodes that you'll understand, that you'll get. But that's in the limited edition too. But I love you. I hope you're taking care of you. This podcast is going to drop. We got a lot of exciting guests coming up next week. We have a lot of exciting guests coming up before we leave on the podcast. Dr. Bahia Maroon will be back in a very special episode of the Cognitive Rampage where I will not be the host. Dr. Bahia Maroon will be hosting that show. It is on April 14th. She will be hosting the Cognitive Rampage with a special guest. So it won't be me on the mic hosting the show on April 14th, but I suggest you listen in because she's way smarter than I am. Edward Price is also coming on. He is coming on Thursday. He is the author of The Divine Curriculum. And this is a book about the Baha'i religion, something I'm excited to learn about. I had never heard of it until his book. And I've learned a lot. It's a little interesting. You should look it up. And I look to learn more directly from the source of the writing of his book, The Divine Curriculum. So Edward Price is coming on. Dr. Bahia Maroon will be back next week. I have a whole board written up of the people coming on. And Dr. Bobby Hoffman will be back on. His podcast is actually number 2 downloaded of all time. And Chris Bell is number 3. And Christina Cusack is number 4 download of all time, if you happen to wonder. But that's just putting that out there. I love you. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage.